Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's move over now to the trial that's going on over to Utah, the Corey Richens trial underway. And we're going to focus first. We're going to do two kind of segments on this. One, on the prosecution's case, what they're presenting, what they're arguing. We'll go to the defense then second. And whether this adds up to murder beyond a reasonable doubt. The state says Corey poisoned her husband, Eric, with fentanyl for money and to start a new life with her boyfriend. They've got a witness who says she bought drugs. They got Eric's own words saying he thought Corey was trying to kill him. They've got insurance policies, deleted texts, and internet searches that paint a picture of premeditation. Let's dig into the questions that you've been asking, and be sure to ask them if you're watching us live right now in the comments section. We'll try to get over to those. We'll start with this from Brian in Salt Lake City. Carmen Lauber testified that she bought fentanyl for Corey for separate times. She says Corey told her it was for an investor. Nobody believes that, right? What investor needs the realtor to score street fentanyl for them? Is the prosecution arguing that was always a cover story for murder? The investor story, I mean, that's an interesting angle on this. We're just learning that now, that it was for an investor.
But are you going to tell somebody that it's for you? Like, you know, you're always going to come up with a story.
Especially if you're buying illicit drugs.
Right, right.
I guess. I've never bought an illicit drugs, but I guess I probably have a story, you know. But it's for the neighbor's cat. Yeah. They're really into fentanyl. Now, I mean, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's kind of a semi-believable story. It's interesting, you know, here's where it tracks really well, because Corey is someone who's very obsessed with her image. This is my conjecture, and it's until proven guilty, insert alleged in front of everything I'm going to say for the next 30 minutes. She clearly seems like someone who has the profile that's obsessed or very concerned with image and how she's portrayed to other people, how other people see her. That's how this type of personality profile works. I am under the operational thought process of her of kind of, and I'm not diagnosing, borderline-ish narcissistic personality disorder, something in that area. That's my opinion. Those type of folks are very obsessed with their image. The fact that she used it as, oh, it's an investor that she's doing this from, it puts her, even in that weird conversation of getting drugs, it kind of elevates her of like, oh, it's for an investor. Cause I'm so busy. I'm so highfalutin. I'm so important in this business. I'm getting this for my investor, you know, because, you know, we're that tight. I'm buying, you know, it's a weird way of doing things, but I can see how through her prism, this seemed like a win.
And also, I feel like she did it because, well, you can't let somebody know that they would be for you, right? Like, the mask would have to be pulled away. She's so perfect.
Yeah.
She would never do something like this. Now, for an investor, for the company, blah, 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 you know, I'll do what I got to do. But she would never herself show that she had that experience with illicit drugs.
Grandstanding to get the drugs, basically. The investor story I found to be interesting.
Robin just mentioned, and so an influencer personality, I would say that would be absolutely correct, wouldn't you?
Yes. I would say she's very, she could have been down that road. She has, reminds me somewhat of kind of like Ruby Frankie in some ways. Mm. She reminds me of Donna Adelson in a lot of ways. I mean, just take that narcissistic personality type that can never be accountable for anything and has a justifiable reason for anything that they're doing, all their modality, everything that they do, everything they touch, even however they need to lie, cheat, and steal and scheme, they will somehow tell themselves, I'm doing this for the greater good. I'm doing this for a reason, and I'm entitled to do this, and anyone who questions me, how dare them? That's disrespectful, because you're questioning, you know, the genius of this type of a person. That's my opinion on kind of the way that she operates.
Yeah.
Stephanie from Park City, Eric allegedly told his sister on a phone call just weeks before he died that he believed Corey was trying to poison him. He said those words out loud to family. How does the prosecution use that? Is that hearsay? Can they get it in front of a jury? I believe it can come out, and it probably will. I honestly don't know the answer to that in this case specifically. I know like that has been, those sort of statements certainly have been used in other trials. I don't know if the judge has allowed that that in, but it certainly has been said. And I mean, I would say, I'm going to guess it is. The fact that they've brought up the sandwich, which could be also kind of hearsay-ish too. I'm going to guess that that's going to be in there. And it is powerful. Especially when you look at the character of Eric, and he's not a paranoid guy. I mean, if this was a guy who was constantly paranoid, and there could be a track record of, see, he was paranoid about this and that, so it makes sense. He thinks his wife's trying to kill him too. If you could go down a track record and say, see, that would explain that more. But I don't think they have that. They don't have anything like that. So if you have somebody making a statement like that, which is pretty rare, I think, to have happen, that someone's going to actively feel that way and then still stay in the relationship. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be very powerful, I think. And there's a lot of things in this case that are, there's nuggets here and there. There's not one big smoking gun. It's an accumulation of things, and you got to kind of look at which pile of shit is worse, and then determine, okay, which, number one, which is worse, but then is that pile of shit enough to say beyond a reasonable doubt? Or is it still just, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, over here, and still pretty, yeah, over here? Because you're going to have both in this case. I think the investigation was extremely flawed, but it doesn't mean that she didn't do it either.
Right. You and I had a brief conversation this morning via text, and we were talking about the witness who's been on the stand for the last day and a half, Carmen Lauber.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's another piece of that where it's like her testimony seems to kind of change and waver. And the defense is really going after her about that, really trying to paint her as somebody that's not trustable, not trustworthy, I should say. And I have to be honest, watching it, I kind of feel that way. I kind of feel like I'm not sure that if this were the only evidence they were going on, I'd have to say, not enough for me. And I personally think that, and again, just my opinion, I think Corey probably did do what we all, you know, what she's being on trial for. But I would still have to question whether or not this was enough for me to actually put her behind bars for the death of her husband.
I think if you're just basing it on those folks, no. But where it gets there for me is going to be the digital. and that's what sinks everybody. I mean, on memes alone, I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily prove she did it. I mean, look, if she was, let's look at it from this perspective for a moment. A thought experiment, if you will, as Robin says. The memes of I'm rich, I'm, you know, wiping the face with money, and the Trump I'm rich meme, and idiots everywhere. Those are the three memes that were brought up. That she apparently was searching on her device literally as Eric was being hauled out of the house in a body bag, and her children are in the other room inconsolable. She's looking. These memes are coming up on her device. Pretty barbaric. You know, just, oh my God. But does it mean that she did it? Or did an opportunity just present itself in his death if he OD'd on something at his own hands? And now suddenly life is going to be good for Corey because suddenly he's gone and she's wanted him gone for a long time and she didn't have to do anything about it. Now she gets the money. Now she gets this and that. And he OD'd, so I had nothing to do with it. So life is good. And she's just a cold, heartless bitch. I mean, is that what that is? Because I guess you really could interpret it one of two ways.
She would have to really be a cold-hearted bitch, I think, to celebrate it. Even though she apparently wasn't happy, she had this other boyfriend, she had all these things that she wanted in life. They were struggling. They were having some issues. Mm-hmm. I think it's really tough. And we've all had bad relationships mm-hmm. that we've wanted to probably get out of. I don't know that I would celebrate the death of somebody.
No.
Even if it was something that I was unhappy in that way. That close to the actual time frame of him being pulled out of the house. Like maybe a week or two later, you'd be like, oh, I just feel so much better. Here's a couple of memes about my life getting better, whatever. I don't know that the timing on that is really suspect.
What makes her more of a monster if she was looking up those memes and she did it, knowing that she did it, or if she didn't do it and she was looking up those memes? I think it makes her look more humane if she did it, because that was part of her plan and she knew it all along. She looks even more monstrous in some ways, that this is just her instinctual reaction to his accidental death, if that's what happened in some ways.
So we just got a question from Robin, who says the memes are kind of meaningless. Her name is Richens. How do you prove she was looking at those memes at that time? And then she says, did she post the memes or just see them?
And we don't know that. The way it was, we'll find out, but the way it was described so far in the openings was that they were accessed on her device.
Right.
So that could simply mean, you know, when you go on your phone and you're looking up to send somebody a meme and you type it in and then that's what comes up as an image. That could be that. We don't know the answer to that question yet. But I would just say,
look at it though, with her last name being Richens, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes like you're typing, you're texting somebody and you actually press the GIF or meme button mm-hmm. and all of a sudden these memes start popping up. Mm-hmm. Could she have been typing something else and they just happened to come up? I mean, that's a interesting thought, Robin, to be honest with you.
Robin, you just gave them, you just gave the defense something they're going to bring up now. Good
Corey's
job.
Now. Yeah, exactly.
Good job. Because quite honestly, I think they're probably looking for ideas. So I'm going to laugh when that pops up in court. Because it probably will. Well, there was, this is, I brought up now several times, and this actually, my fiance brought this up the other day, because I think it could answer so many questions, is a hair follicle test on Eric. Mm. As far as we know, none was done. At least we've never seen it. We've never heard of it being brought up. As far as we know, that's not in evidence. I could be wrong, but a hair follicle test would tell you whether Eric was a regular user of fentanyl or other drugs. It would tell you that. Or it would tell you he was not. That benefits one of two sides. And I don't know that either side feels strong enough in their case to grab that piece of evidence and go, look. And because either way, whatever that result would be very revealing.
And I know we've had people say he had very short hair. He could only, you know, looking at the length of his hair, depending on how long, how fast he grows his hair, all that kind of stuff. But I think we could get at least some information if that would be done.
Hair is hair. It doesn't just have to be on your head.
So he might have some long, you know.
If there's a hair anywhere with any length, it's like a tree. You know, it's the rings of a tree. It will tell you It will tell you a lot. So I don't know. I mean, it's that I think would be very telling. If, you know, it shows that, oh, looks like he has this in his system a lot, it would lean a lot more towards an overdose. It would be very, very strong for Corey. If there ain't that, then, right. Yeah. The toxicologist testified that Quantapine, that's Corey's prescription medication, not Eric's, was found in Eric's blood. It was a small amount, but it was there. If Eric had no prescription for that drug, how did it get in his system? Is the prosecution using that to show Corey was putting things in his food and drinks? We don't quite know how they're going to use that yet. But yeah, that was in his system as well. And again, I think you could use that two ways. You could say, see, he's just going to the medicine cabinet and treating it like Skittles. You know, whatever's there, he's just taking some. Or Corey made, it could be something, well, you know, it's there and he takes it every now and then. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to put that. It is an interesting one because it almost makes you wonder, like, what did Corey, did she get the fentanyl? And she's like, and just for added measure, let me push some of this in here too.
Yeah. I mean, the mind process, when you start thinking about the mind process on getting the drugs, connecting with somebody to get the drugs, and it looks like from the testimony that I've seen over the last couple of days, there were a few prescriptions around the house in various locations, along with the, and I'll say it like the prosecutor and the defense said, gummies, THC gummies. Like they're so afraid of saying THC gummies. I'm not sure why. But yeah, I mean, there seemed to be a lot of stuff going on in that house.
And it seems no one seems to have any clue or understanding on how THC works.
Yeah.
They think it's like from the devil or something. And it's somehow this horrible, deadly, scary drug that's literally killed no one ever. And that I feel like they're trying to create confusion. They're playing on the jury, also not fully grasping that and going, oh gosh, he's a drug user. He's using THC gummies. Well, like half the people in the courtroom are like, I'm on one right now. I bet a member of the jury probably is on one right now.
I was just going to say, probably. I mean, of the two of us, I'm guessing there's a 50-50 shot that somebody here is on one. Just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not something where it's not 1952 or something.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, or the 80s or anything where it's, you know, it's just not that. It's been fascinating to watch that. Your thoughts in the comment section on the prosecution of Corey Richens and where that's all at. Substack or YouTube is where you can weigh in. We'd love to get your feedback there and be sure to press subscribe.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Cabin crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.